Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and I hope your year is off to a great start. I kind of have a head cold, if you can't tell, and so I'm feeling better now, but I sound not so great. But I hope that your New Year's resolutions are coming together. I hope you're making good plans and good progress. You're making wise choices. If you're not, and you're already starting to see yourself slip back and you're looking at the year saying this is just never going to happen, I would love to encourage you to get a copy of my book. It's called Getting Better When You Can't. And in that book, I break down why we can't do the things we want to do and why we do the things we say we're not going to do. I explain the mechanics of our decision process and get at the real heart of it. And guess what? It's not your willpower. Like everybody says, it's not about doing more. It's not about trying harder. Lasting change is possible. And in that book, I show you how. So get a hold of me, email me, I'll get you a copy, or go on iTunes. It's on there. Enough about that. We are going to talk today about Powerball and possibility. And of course, we're going to talk about the Powerball. I mean, on Saturday, the Powerball hit a record high with a jackpot of over $900 million. And since there was no winners, the jackpot is going to be $1.3 billion. Now, the odds of winning this used to be really good. You'd have a chance of 1 in 175 million. Of course, I say that tongue-in-cheek. But now they've added more numbers to pick from, in case you didn't know, and the odds have gone up to 1 in 292 million, which is basically, it's just really, I mean, you know, it's not going to happen. The purpose was to make the jackpots much higher and to attract more people to gamble their money. And that's what they've discovered. I mean, when the jackpot's only a measly, you know, 50 million, there's a small turnout. When it's 400 million, there's a big turnout. And so now they changed it so that the turnouts are going to be big and people are going to, and it's working. I mean, mission accomplished. I mean, look at it. The lines out the door, they were selling over a million tickets per hour this weekend. So those are big odds. That's big money. But let's look closer. Not only are we at a historic time when our lottery will produce its first billionaire, I mean, just think about that. That in and of itself gives us pause. But the lottery frenzy, it brings people together, and hundreds of millions of people are discussing over the dinner table the same thing on Saturday night. What would they do with all that money? And usually in that conversation, two camps emerge. You have the hopefuls and you have the naysayers, right? Those whose chance was just as good as everybody else's. And so, you know, it's kind of like that Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying I have a chance? And it's that guy versus the realist, so to speak, or those who see that, why are we even having this conversation? It's a waste of time. So hopefuls and naysayers kind of emerge out of that conversation. And sometimes that's about as far as it goes. But I want us to look even closer. You see, the lottery exposes, perhaps better than anything else, the profound underlying spiritual realities here. See, a billion dollars changes all the rules for the winner. Now, $1 million will give you a nice jump in life, but it is not going to radically overhaul everything in your life. $1 million won't grossly change everything for most people. $1 million is amazing. It'll give you a retirement. It'll give you residual income. It'd give you a nicer place and newer cars and a vacation. But after taxes and everything else, you're going to burn right through that in your lifetime. But $1 billion changes everything. It changes all the rules. And this is at the heart of a very spiritual thread here. See, the frenzy that's going on across the nation just shows how hungry people are for a new life. See, every person who stood in line did so because they can imagine a life better than the one that they have. Buying a ticket, then, is an act of faith. It illustrates so clearly what I'm saying in this blog, namely that all people are believers. We are all people of faith. Think about that. We all engage in religious activity. I don't care if you're an atheist or an agnostic or you haven't been to church in a while. This is religious activity. It's faith-based practice. The lottery authorities essentially became our worship leaders. They created an infrastructure, not unlike the infrastructure of religious communities, where all the comers could come and get an equal chance at being blessed or chosen. And the one commandment in this case is that you have to pay for a ticket to get your chance. Now, if you add to this all the superstitions and the behaviors and the thoughts that accompany the moments before the big drawing, you know, all the, oh, if I could just do this, I promise I'll be this way, or, you know, make sure you put the ticket here, make sure you watch the, you know, all the things that go along with it, then you're going to have the makings of a religion. Do you see it? If not, try this exercise. This might help you. Buy a ticket before this Wednesday's $1.3 billion estimated jackpot drawing. Now, once you buy your ticket, look at the numbers and consider for a moment the possibility that you are holding the winning numbers or even five out of them. I mean, if you get five, that's at least $1 million. Now, then watch what happens, but pay very close attention to your thoughts that emerge this time. You'll probably see a strategy emerge about how you'll spend it or what you'll buy first or what you'll do first. Probably get a lawyer, get an accountant, be anonymous, go into hiding, right? You have your strategy. Then you'll see a set of people and priorities, right? Those who you really love and care about and want to take care of, those who know you now and appreciate you now versus those who are going to come out of the woodwork, cousins and uncles and aunts who you've never met before, who all of a sudden give a crap about who you are, right? That's going to come out. And eventually you'll probably get to that place in your heart where you're thinking about being generous. Maybe you're considering how you're going to help other people. Or maybe you won't. Maybe you're just thinking about how you're going to spend it all on yourself and buy a yacht and a jet and travel and just live the lap of luxury and self-indulgence. But you see, that will all expose something of you. But then what? You know, $1 billion goes much farther than most people's imagination. Most people just want to get a nicer house, a nicer neighborhood, a nicer car, quit their job, and go on a vacation. But then what? $1 billion is a different story. So if you can't get that far into your thinking, it's because of your defeater voices. Now, you may call them realism, but those are the voices that tell you, it's never going to happen to me. I can't do it. These are the same voices that keep you from ever taking a risk in your life, too. They're the ones that have kept you in the same spot for a long, long time. Now, either way, you are going to be engaging in a spiritual practice, right? You either are following the voice of possibility or you're following the voice of unbelief, but both are very spiritual in nature. Now, Matthew 10 verse 26 says that with God, all things are possible. That's a totally different kind of possibility thinking. It offers a new life, a new set of rules, just like the lottery. However, the spiritual path is not like the lottery because the odds are not 1 in 292 million. They're 1 in 1. And the means of winning are totally different. You see, with the lottery, change is from the outside in. This means you immediately gain status or power or options. And you never even have to look at your own heart if you don't want to. Not surprising, though, if you look, most lottery winners either go broke or they are extremely depressed or anxious or lonely and regret ever winning because now they can never meet a person and trust that they are loved for who they are. That money always gets in the way of every relationship. It's pretty sad. You know, most of us try and convince ourselves that we would become very generous, we'd be philanthropic, or that the money wouldn't change us. But the reality is that if those aspects are not present before the winning, if we're not generous before we win, if we don't already give to the poor, trust me, when you have $1 billion, you're not going to be that generous. You're not going to have those aspects of your heart later. You're probably just going to get worse. Outside-in wealth simply doesn't produce freedom. It only allows you to quit your job and become worse. That's the sad reality. Now, with the spiritual path, change is from the inside out. Now, this means that all comers gain profound insight into their lives. They start to recognize their own power and their options. See, they too have options, just like the billionaire. It changes, though, how a person spends their time. I mean, you're not going to fritter away your time when you have a spiritual awareness. There's no way you're just going to watch the Kardashians and wonder about their lives and fritter away time and over and over again in front of the Food Network or something else. Your time is going to be spent engaging in other things. Not that those things are bad in small doses, but I'm talking about just large quantities of plugging into the TV or Facebook or something that's just frivolous, gaming, whatever it is. All those things are fun in their right space, but you know what I'm talking about here. It changes how a person spends their mind. We don't spend our energies. They're redirected to serve others, and in doing so, we're always satisfied and fulfilled. The spiritual path will fill you up because it's not about you anymore. It's not about your comfort, your boredom, your satisfaction. It's about how can I help someone else? And in doing so, you're full. Well-being is not based on tangibles. So a person can possess freedom immediately. It's not on the other side of that thing, a one day. Freedom isn't that one day disease. Immediately. Now, you get it regardless of your health. You can be on your deathbed with cancer and have complete freedom and joy and well-being. $1 billion will not help you have that if you are on your deathbed with cancer. In fact, cancer would make it worse, wouldn't it? It doesn't matter how old you are, you can possess this. Economic status doesn't matter. Racial status doesn't matter. Geographical location anywhere on the planet is equal. You see, inside out wealth that comes from the spiritual path produces freedom, and no amount of money can ever change that. So this week, as you join the hundreds of millions of people who collectively look down at their losing ticket, I hope you'll consider that there is another path to possess, all of which you're really hoping. It's a narrow path, I gotta tell you. It's not a wide highway. It's much more demanding on you. It's a much more difficult path. It feels uphill, but it leads to life. It leads to freedom. You can learn about that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13. It doesn't lead to disappointment. It doesn't lead to destruction. I really also hope that you never give up on your possibility thinking. You see, all things really are possible, and they remain that way despite the lottery. I don't have to have $1 billion to think possibility. I know that with God, all things are possible, and I can get there, no matter what it is, without the lottery. It all starts by wanting our best life enough to actually get into it, to get honest with it, and to be diligent with it. You see, our best life never comes from trying to escape the one we have, but by transforming it and bringing as many with us as we can. Now, I do pray for the person who wins this jackpot. I pray they do have the spiritual maturity to not be destroyed by such a windfall. Of course, that is probably the person who would never buy a ticket in the first place.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.